It is just awesome to be with you. I have actually looked forward very much, even before I got in this role, to come to Lucky Lake because of Ruby Quirin. She said, have you ever made your way out to Lucky Lake? Have you been to Lucky Lake lately? As if, you know, it was on my way to Calgary or something. So it's good to finally be here and see you folks, see the building, and I love it so far, except for your roads. Thank you for this awful weather. I'm just thankful that Janine drove today, because I might have texted you. No, I would have come. Okay. It's good to be here. So I'm Phil Gunther. I am the new director of ministry for the Saskatchewan MB Conference, a conference of 34 churches and two camps to which you belong to since 1947. That's a whole lot of years we've been on mission together, and literally we have been on mission together. Yeah, all these years, and so being here is great. I'm the rookie director of ministry. I only started in October, and so I'm just looking for a whole bunch of grace as I kind of stumble over myself trying to do what I'm supposed to do in this role, but it's been good. I have really, really enjoyed traveling to the churches that we've been at. We're at a church every weekend. Virtually every weekend since I started at a different church in the province. And so it's been an absolute blessing for us to do that. A little bit about ourselves, Janine and I. We've been married 31 years. We have three sons and one daughter-in-law. We are big Blue Jays and Riders fans. And so any Riders fans here this far out from Regina? Okay, no illustrations about Riders today. Blue Jays fans, any? One. Okay, right. Okay, we will not go with those illustrations either today. You guys are a tough crowd. Now, you know, some people have asked me, like, we have a vision statement, which is to foster community, to empower, inspire, and support churches as they make disciples. And I've just simply boiled that down into kind of a phrase that I use for myself. If you want to understand what I'm doing, I'm kind of like a Ralph Gleegi 3.0. And that's part of my job. The other part is really coming along, supporting Saskatchewan MB churches and camps in their mission. So it's coming alongside Lucky Lake and understanding what your mission is. What are your goals? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? And coming along and say, well, how can I help you fulfill those in your context here in Lucky Lake? And so that boils it down for me in terms of my work. So it's been good to connect with some of you folks. I met Pongo, your church mascot, this morning. You didn't know you had one. Ava brought Pongo this morning, so I'm surprised he's not standing in the front somewhere. But I've got a job for you guys, for you three this morning. You want to help me out? This is your job. Every time I say the name Jesus, I want you to just say hallelujah, okay? The word Jesus. You want to practice, or you let's practice? Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Okay, now that's part of your role. The other part of your role is to count how many times I use the word ripple, ripples, stones, or let's go with another one, pebbles, okay? Anytime I use any of those, I want you just to count it. So at the end of it. Now, if you give me the right number, I'll give you a candy cane at the end. Okay? I promise candy cane. It's a bit old, but it's still good. And that qualifies for any of you that are teens here this morning. For that, have we got teens here? Teenagers? They just had to leave. Okay. Is that a policy you have? So as soon as the sermon starts, teens, out of here. No, I did have a question for you folks. Like, so if I was trying to get a decaf frappuccino with soy milk, where in Lucky Lake do I go for that after the surfing?
Saskatoon.
Good to know. Yeah, that, yeah. There you go. You know, Mother Teresa said long ago that I can do things you can't, and you can do things I can't, but together we can do great things. And that tells you a little bit about my heart. I have a huge passion to bring all of us together in a new way on mission. I just see we're on mission together. Whether you're in Woodrow or Carrot River or Lucky Lake or Regina or Saskatoon, folks, we're on mission together. And I have really tried in a number of different ways to communicate that and help us to get a better sense of what's going on in our province. And if you go to there's a table Janine and I've set up there that's got, you know, about a half a dozen or a little bit more communiques that tell stories. And Pastor Ken and Don receive it, and I think some of your elder leadership team gets it. But pick some up, and it'll tell you stories of what's happening as we're on mission together. I want you guys to be as interested about what happens in Carrot River as Carrot River should be interested in what happens at Lucky Lake. And I see myself as being able to do that. Haven't said Jesus yet, have I? No, okay. You're paying attention. I'm sneaky, sorry. Let's get to the Word, amen? Yes. Amen, let's get to the Word. I want you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Yes, that is a book in the Bible, believe it or not. It is. It's after Proverbs. And I want you to turn to the 11th chapter. There's two verses that I want to read out of there. It's a book of the Bible that not too many pastors kind of journey into. And I'll share a little bit why that is. In Hebrew, Ecclesiastes means preacher or teacher. And it's written several hundred years before the birth of Jesus. And the author, as I said, there you go. Thank you, Pastor. I didn't do my pastoral pause to allow you to do that. I will do that next time. And so the author is identified right in the first verse of chapter 1, where it says, "The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem." Now, pastors hesitate to preach out of this one because, by and large, it kind of has a depressing note to it. Like, if you read through the book, the teacher repeatedly cries out, you know, everything is meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And a little story. It's not a Blue Jays or a Rider story, but while we were in ministry in Carrot River, I never shared that. Janine and I have been in ministry 25 years, 17 in Regina, and 8 in Carrot River, Saskatchewan, in a small church there. And so we met with a particular family on one occasion in Carrot River, and after supper, the dad leans over and he says to me, "Pastor, why don't you preach out of Ecclesiastes?" Okay, you know, why? Why do you want me to preach out of Ecclesiastes? And he told me, "Well, the man says that everything is meaningless, and I was wondering if you could do something with that." Pause for the laughter. Not coming. Okay. The book of Ecclesiastes is a record of the author's search for true meaning to life. And to make a long story short, after a lifetime of pursuit, he concludes all of his understandings in the last chapter, and he writes in verse 13, "Here is now my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty." I don't know what I can do with Ecclesiastes, but I know that there are two verses in this particular book that have repeatedly touched my heart. And they are found in chapter 11 and verses 3 and on. Verses 4 to 6 is what I'm actually going to read. And it reads like this: "Whoever watches the wind and will not plant, whoever looks at the clouds and will not reap. As you know, or as you do not know, that the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well." How many of you have ever wondered whether your work for the Lord is worth it? Whether you're serving as a pastor, whether you're serving as an elder, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or a children's feature teacher. By the way, Ryan, I loved your lesson this morning. Whether you served as a greeter or done worship leading or simply been a prayer warrior for the church, have you ever wondered to yourself, I don't know if it really matters. I don't know if there's a difference that it's making. And sometimes such reflection leads to considerable discouragement for us as followers of Jesus, especially when we don't immediately see the fruits of our efforts. Dwight Edwards, in his article, The Impact of Pebble Tossing, he writes these words, and I quote, "Serving God is often like being at the top of a large mountain and tossing pebbles off one side and then the other. At first sight appears nothing is happening, and we're failures in the eyes of God and fools in the eyes of men. And then Satan whispers in our ears that we're wasting our time, that few, if any, are really being impacted, and that we ought to be elsewhere doing things that are far more rewarding." In the end of this text of Ecclesiastes, the teacher uses a farming metaphor, which you guys would resonate with quite well here, to communicate some real important wisdom, and he did so for me. Wisdom, I suggest, speaks to our ruminations about our efforts to serve Jesus. Thank you. We're going. And so he writes these words, "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap." And so the teacher sets out to direct farmers, you know, don't just watch and look as if life passes you by and that's all you're supposed to be, and that you're spectators and kind of like a ball game. And indirectly, he's reminding us all that we're made for much more than just being spectators in this life. That we're to be involved, that we're to be creative, that we're to plant, to serve, and to make use of our God-given abilities. And then he reminds us that there are those who spend a precious amount of time, their precious time, just watching the wind and looking at the clouds rather than sowing and reaping because they fear unfortunate events may happen. They fear the forces around them will disrupt or diminish or destroy their efforts, and as a result, they don't plant anything, they don't sow anything, they don't reap anything. Another version of the Bible puts it this way, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. If you wait until the wind and the weather are just right, you will never sow anything and you will never harvest anything. As Christians, we can make these same two mistakes. We can be tempted to spend the precious time we have watching, looking at all the opportunities God puts before us, but we don't plant, we don't sow, we don't do anything except be spectators. As Jesus followers, thank you, we can allow the circumstances around us to shape our life. We can allow our fears, whatever they might be, to determine how we're going to live life. And as Christians, it can deter us from planting those seeds of the gospel, from being the hands and the feet of Jesus to other people. Because we're afraid. We're afraid we may offend someone, or we're afraid that we'll get it wrong, or we're afraid that it won't make a difference. And so we watch, and we look, and life passes us by, as do all the opportunities that God puts before us. Our invitation, using the words of the author in this text, is to use the time God has given us to seed, to reap the harvest. Don't be a spectator. Don't say, I'm going to let someone else do it. No, you do it. I want you to imagine something. Imagine if the apostles, after the ascension of Jesus into heaven, lived their life out of fear. That they might fail, or they might offend, or whatever was on their hearts. Would we have the church today? What about those MB pioneers in 1947? What if they said, don't know if we should plant this church. Don't know if we should start a church in Lucky Lake. What if they were just watchers, spectators? Would I be here today in this place? How many lives have been transformed here in Lucky Lake because those pioneers sowed and harvested and they refused to be spectators? Come back to the question again. What if we've been faithfully serving the Lord and yet question whether our sowing will ever result in any harvest? Scripture is so clear when it says, plant, sow, let God, the maker of all things, the sustainer of all things, work. You just do your part. And your part is not being a spectator, but being a planter, a sower. You see the farmers? Those of you that are farmers, how many farmers do we have here this morning? One, two, three, a couple of shy threes. Okay, all right. So when you plant your seed in spring, which is right around the corner, do you know what kind of a harvest you're going to get in October? You don't. You have an idea of what possibly will happen. There's no guarantee, is there? And that's what the writer says here in these verses following. He says, he reminds us several times, you do not know. He says, you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb. You can translate this in a slightly different way. You could say how the spirit or how the soul comes into the life of a child in the mother's womb. You can read it that way. So too, you can't understand the work of God, the maker of all things. You do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Three times the writer says, you do not know. Back to Dwight Edwards, he says this again, and I quote, the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying, that we are to sow our seeds regardless of visible circumstances because we do not know the invisible or the other mysterious workings of God. In other words, keep tossing those pebbles because you never know what sort of spiritual avalanche they may set off far out of eyesight. What seems like a pebble today may in fact end up being a boulder in God's divine orchestration. Amen? Amen. You don't know. We don't know. We don't know what God has in plan. We don't know what God has in store for us. Every summer, practically every summer, when we were in Kett River, we would vacation in Waskasoo. Been to Waskasoo? Yeah. I grew up in BC, and Waskasoo is about as close to home in BC as you get in Saskatchewan. Love the place. And so when our sons were children, we spent, like I said, we spent summers there in the park. And amongst a lot of the activities that we did, and girls, you know, this might be something you guys do when you go camping. You get to the lake, and our guys loved skipping rocks on the water, right? Pebbles, stones, keep counting. Yeah. Love doing it. They would do it for hours. Doesn't matter what size of stone, big, small, round, flat, nice looking, ugly rocks. They tossed them all. I won't mention they also tossed them at the geese that were there. That wouldn't be PETA approved. But you know what I learned about that? Every single pebble, every single rock that they threw into that lake caused ripples. Yeah. It didn't matter if it was a pebble or stone or how it looked. It made an impact. And you know, my encouragement for you is this. Whether you're a woman or a man, an extrovert or introvert, a senior, a youth, whether you've graduated just from high school or you've got a doctorate degree, whether you're a, you know, whether you're a physician or whether you're a clerk, every single spiritual pebble you cast into the work of the kingdom of God will have an impact. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that with all of my heart. God will create spiritual ripples from your spiritual pebbles. In the fall of 2015, a group of several couples from Parliament Community Church, where I served for 17 years, decided to sponsor a single mother and her four children. They were from Tanzania. And they helped this mother with childcare, with doctor's appointments, grocery shopping, English lessons, government appointments, that type of thing. And they brought her and her her children to Parliament for church Sunday mornings. And it wasn't long, and she just absolutely fell in love with the people of the church. And she started sharing about her experiences at Parliament with other African friends who were also new to Canada. And several weeks later, two men, an evangelist and a pastor from the Congo, showed up in my office and wanted to meet with myself and the elders. And they had shared how this lady had fallen in love with Parliament. And they wanted to know if how we could support them. They had a congregation of about 40 people that were meeting in a garage. It was November. And 40 people jammed into a car garage. And that's where they're doing their services. And so they asked if we could provide a venue for them to worship. And we did. To make a long story short, we provided a space for them to worship. Not only in their space, but they were also welcome to join us, which they did. And I want to just speed this up, fast forward to 1 year. Mission Pentecostal Church was born and now worships together with and separately at Parliament Community Church. They have about 60 people that meet and are growing like I've never seen a church grow before. And they are in dialogue with me about becoming a member of the Saskatchewan Mennonite Brethren. So this would be our first Pentecostal church. Because one of the things they asked us, like, do we have to change our name? And I said, no, it's a name. You keep whatever you want. I don't know what copyright infringements there are or anything like that, but I'm not worried about that, frankly. My point is this. These several couples just tossed a couple of pebbles into supporting a single mom. And today we have a thriving and growing church that is meeting and worshiping God and reaching out to their neighbors, especially new Canadians in Canada. Folks, your spiritual pebbles will have an impact in God's kingdom. Sometimes we think we have to do huge things. I just like what Mother Teresa says. No, you don't have to do huge things. You just have to do small things with great love. All of you can do that. He directed the farmers, and by principle us here this morning, don't be spectators. Don't just watch. Don't just look. Plant, seed, harvest. How many of you have heard the starfish story? I won't do it if everybody's heard of it before. The story of the starfishes on the beach. Oh, cool, I get to do it. This fellow walks on the beach, California, I think, and notices all these starfishes that are on the sand, and they've just been brought in by the tide. Tide has gone out, and these starfishes are all dying. There's thousands of them on the beach. So he sees how many there are, and he just says, I really can't do anything, and keeps walking, right? And can't do anything. You know, what am I supposed to do? There's too many of them. So he keeps walking. A little while later, he comes across this young girl, and she's hucking these starfishes back into the ocean like a madman, and just, you know, many at a time. And the guy asked, like, sweetheart, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm throwing these starfish. They're going to die if we don't throw them back into the ocean. And he says, well, like, why would you do that? There's too many of them. Like, what difference are you going to make? There's too many of them. And without stopping, she looks at him and she tosses another one. And she says, well, it makes a difference to that one. It makes a difference. There's lots of people that are hurting. There's lots of people that are broken. There's lots of people that need Jesus. Thank you. God is just calling you to reach out to one. Because it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. I just want to share one more story with you, and then I'm going to close right after that. The Multiply Conference that was in Vancouver here this February, I'm getting this story third hand about one of the speakers, a guy by the name of Bob Roberts from Texas. And so I just want to share with you because it seems so apropos for the situation. He was in a restaurant having a meal, and as he was doing that, the waiter, busboy, dropped a tray of dirty dishes and smashed all over the floor. And you know, and you've been in restaurants before, there's a hoot and hollering, slippery hands or whatever. Well, that happened there. This pastor, Bob Roberts, felt quite bad for the young man that had dropped this tray of plates, dirty dishes. And so he goes to help him with these dishes, cleans it up. And eventually ends up that they start a friendship. This person, this young man, who happened to be from a Middle Eastern country, was a Muslim, came to faith in Christ because of their friendship. That same person began to open the doors for Bob to speak to his Muslim friends and his mosque. My point is this. All of us can help pick up dirty dishes. All of us can be a friend to someone. And I'm just calling you to toss those spiritual stones into the kingdom of God and just watch what ripples will come from it. Every single person here this morning, you have all that you need to make a difference for Christ in someone's life. You have all that you need to transform people's lives. God has, by His Spirit, has gifted you with everything you need to transform your community. And if you need any more encouragement, and you're wondering if your work here at the church or in the community for Christ is having any impact, read Paul's words to the Christians in Corinth, where he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor, your efforts, your pebbles that you're tossing are never, ever in vain. That's a promise of Scripture. They're never in vain. Nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever useless. Nothing you do for the Lord is ever wasted. Everything you do for Him is worthwhile. And in the Lord, your labor will never be lost. Amen? Go and do likewise. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people that make this church church. And Lord, I just so deeply pray that not only I, but all of us together would see the difference we can make in people's lives by doing little things, by not being spectators, by being the hands and feet of the Lord, by sharing the gospel. Whatever it translates for our life, Lord, may we be faithful to toss those pebbles, to plant those seeds, to be the helping hand, to be the word of hope, the word of encouragement. And Lord, we trust that you will work behind the scenes to accomplish your purposes for that effort we make in your name. And you've promised, oh God, that nothing we do for you is ever in vain. And let us hold on to that as we go forward from today. Bless this, your church. Raise it up to be an incredible, continued presence of Jesus in this place. May your Spirit pour out upon each person. Empower them, lead them, guide them, give them great courage. May they be a blessing to others as you bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen.